Good morning, everyone. Okay, this morning, what I would like to do is perhaps cover some turf from the last Records Managers Forum, but there is obviously some different folks in the room today, so I'd like to just step back a bit, provide a bit more background about where this new standard has come from, what it's aiming to do, then focus in on the standard itself, what is it about, and as Jenny has very kindly said, looking into how can you actually implement this into your organisation, and I do have the Catherine top tips at the end, but very much looking at how you transition from five standards into just one standard. So, for those of you who were at the November forum, my apologies, we're covering some old turf, but for those of you who are hearing this for the first time, hopefully this gives you an insight into where we've come from and what this is actually all about. So, as many of you are aware, at the beginning of 2014, which seems so long, long ago now, we decided to revise five of our standards. And after Mandy had announced this to me and I'd picked myself up off the floor, we got started. The standards we chose to review were the Standard on Full and Accurate Records, Standard on Managing a Records Management Program, Standard on Counter Disaster Strategies for Records and Record Keeping Systems, the Standard on Appraisal and Disposal of State Records, and the Standard on Digital Records Keeping. So five of our six standards, some of which are our favourite standards, they've been around for a long time. Now, as I noted back in November, there were lots of reasons for us doing this revision of five standards. First of all was the age of the standards. Most of those standards were 10 years old or even older, and our concerns were that they didn't reflect current best practice at all, or the world is moving on and they're not keeping up with that world as it moves. We also had concerns that the standards perhaps didn't assist you as much as they should in the work that you're doing out there in public office land, as I refer to it. The 2013 Digital Record Keeping Survey also revealed that there were lots of problems with the implementation of the standard on digital record keeping, which needed to be addressed, obviously, from our end as well as public offices. So we wanted to look at how we could make it easier to do digital record keeping. And more broadly, we wanted to harmonise with the information management framework, which Sonia spoke about this morning, and also help better assist public officers with that transformation into a digital business environment. So in other words, how do we actually make sure that records and information management keep up with this transformation that's happening across government? So we undertook a review process. We deliberately chose not to include the standard on storage, on physical storage. That has remained as is and is still there as one of the standards. But the review process we undertook allowed us to look at the current environment for records and information management. Where are we going? The work we now do is far more integrated with information management than it's ever been before. We're very much more business oriented. We're also trying to connect ourselves better with the business outcomes of our organisation. So in other words, really looking at what is our organisation trying to achieve, how can we actually help them with our records and information management strategies. And also the ever-changing technology which is driving change in the way people want to work in our organisations. The other thing that we also looked at was we have two generations of standards. So we've been issuing standards since 1999. So we have quite a body of work. A lot of organisations have been doing some very good work out there implementing those standards. So we were looking at where to go to for the next generation of standards, but also that we have a very good foundation in a lot of organisations that we could build on. During the review process, we received excellent feedback from a lot of organisations, and we thank you for that feedback. There was also a clear preference for just one standard. Make our jobs easier, make our lives easier, just give us one standard. We can go from there, in other words, a very clear picture of where we go, what we need to do. So as part of the process, we consolidated, we streamlined, we reduced duplication. And as Jeff has alluded to, we've moved 61 requirements down to 21 requirements. So when you actually look at the implementation guide and you look at those mappings, you can see how we've collapsed similar requirements into just one requirement. So have a look at that mapping because it really shows where we've streamlined and consolidated. Okay. I'd also note that this reduction in requirements isn't a dumbing down. It's actually really a refocusing of requirements so that we focus in on what really matters the most and the kinds of requirements that we need to put our collective attention to because they're fundamental to the success of transitioning into the digital environment that we all want to go to. Okay, so the aims of the new standard. Basically, it's about supporting physical and digital records. You can read the standard and go, yes, I understand that in a physical world. You can read the standard and go, yes, I understand that for a digital world. There are some requirements that look a bit more edgy, a little bit more digital, but you can read it very much for both types of formats. It's applicable to both. It's also designed to support digital records and information management as we transition into that fully digital operation. And as I mentioned before, it's about building on that foundation that we've all been working on since 1999. And I would say any public sector organisation that has been implementing the requirements of the standards over the last 15 plus years, you've been building a good foundation for this new standard, and you're going to be in an excellent position to transition quite easily. On the 2nd of March, here it is. Hopefully you've all downloaded it. You've all read it from cover to cover, and we can have a little sort of who knows which requirement came later. And as Jeff mentioned, the standard was approved back in October last year, but issued this year. The reason for the delay was so that we could actually do some work in preparation to assist you with starting that implementation process. So the delay allowed us to prepare a range of guidance, update existing guidance, and also prepare a detailed implementation guide, which I'll be looking at in a little bit of detail this morning. Peter Bisley in the update section later this morning is also going to be flagging the new guidance and also the updated guidance for you. The other thing that I would mention with my monitoring hat on is that most of the minimum compliance requirements are in place right now. Because they are built on existing requirements that were already in place, most of what is in the new standard is already in effect. The only thing that hasn't come into effect is the 6 new minimum compliance requirements, and they will take effect from the 1st of December. What I'd like to do now is actually look at each of the principles and talk a bit about what they're about, what do they mean, and just explore those principles. So the first principle in the standard is about establishing appropriate governance frameworks. And those frameworks are about policy directing how records and information shall be managed, assigning responsibilities, establishing provisions for records and information in outsourcing and service delivery arrangements, and monitoring records and information management in our organisation, so monitoring the activities, the systems and the processes. Most of Principle 1 draws very heavily on the standard on managing a records management program, full and accurate, and the standard on appraisal and disposal of state records. It's very familiar territory for all of us. It's about establishing or rethinking about the things that we've already put in place for our records and information management. But we decided to cascade those responsibilities a little bit further than we had in the past. So there is a new requirement in this principle, which is about ensuring that records and information management is integrated out there in people's work processes, in the systems and the services that are allocated to the responsibility of business managers. So for the first time, we've actually cascaded responsibility across the organisation, not just from the CEO down to the nominated senior officer to the operational records manager, but we've also gone out wider and broader. So if someone is the systems owner in your organisation, they also have responsibilities. If they're a business unit manager, they have responsibilities, and these have been articulated in the standard. The other new requirement that's in this principle is about addressing the new ways that we work, the new things that we're doing, and the fact that records and information are part of outsourced arrangements, they're part of cloud and other service arrangements, and we need to address records and information management as part of those arrangements. So for anyone who's actually been trying to have this conversation in their organisation, this requirement puts it front and centre. These things do need to be considered if you're going into any of these arrangements. Now, after the familiar territory of Principle 1, we come to Principle 2, which is familiar, but it also has a bit of a twist to it. Now, the second principle is about taking a planned approach to managing records and information in our organisation. And this includes undertaking assessment of records and information needs so that the organisation can identify its key business information. If you think this sounds like appraisal, then yes, you are correct. It is all about appraisal. It's about doing the thinking and the understanding of what our organisations are about so we know what records we do need to create and capture as part of our business. If we do that assessment, we can then use it to design records and information into the processes and the systems that we do in our organisations, that we use in our organisations. And it gives us an opportunity to consider all the operating environments in our organisation so that creation and management of records and information is across the business. It supports the whole business. It's just not siloed into one or two areas within the organisation. It's our whole of organisation activity, and it considers all the operating environments and service arrangements that our organisations are in. The requirements in Principle 2 build on the standard on full and accurate records. It builds on digital record keeping. It builds on the managing a records management program standard and the standard on appraisal and disposal of state records. So it picks up all those good elements out of those standards and pops them into Principle 2. Now, whilst that sort of looks familiar, the new requirements in Principle 2 take us into new areas and new possibilities. And part of taking a planned approach to records and information management means that we can actually use that approach to identify the high-risk, high-value systems in our organisations and the records and information which support these particular business operations and systems. So in other words, we can find those particular gems in our organisation and look at prioritising them for attention and ensuring that they're actually being managed well, so that we do have records and information of these high value and high risk areas of our organisation. The other new requirement, particularly for high risk, high value, is all about making sure that once we know where the areas of high risk, high value business are in our organisation, we can ensure that as any design, process to update systems, procure new systems, that records and information become part of a by design component in that system upgrade or in the procurement of a new system. In other words, we can flag that this is an area that needs to be attended to. The third new requirement, which is in this principle, is about managing records and information across all our operating environments. And this builds very much on that concept that the organisation needs to know what records and information it has to manage, where are these assets, how do we safeguard them if we need to retain them for the long term? So I'm talking more than 20 years. Where are these assets? How are we knowing that they're going to be managed well over the long term? Some of them may need to be managed for longer than that. They're not necessarily going to be transferred to state records as archives, but they do need to be managed and safeguarded through, obviously, migrations and other service transitions. So by knowing what we've got, wherever it is across our entire organisation, and picking up on all the new technologies, so is the social media unit keeping records? Do we know what they've got? Where are they managing it? What network is it sitting on? Or is it out in the cloud? By picking up all the different environments that people are working in across our organisation, we get that visibility of all the information assets across the organisation and a better capacity then to start managing them. And from state records perspective, it also enhances your role. It gives you that opportunity to get that greater visibility, to step out and be part of the environment out there for managing information assets across our organisation. So we hope that in that new role that you have success, and this standard helps you in getting into those conversations and discussing where are the records, how are we managing them, can we do better? Okay, the third principle is, I think, once again back to familiar territory. It's actually covering off on what is good management of records and information. What do we actually need to do to make sure that at the end of the day we have reliable and trustworthy records? So it's picking up on things like how do we protect records, how do we safeguard records, how do we dispose of records, how do we make sure that they're being created every day in the systems the way they're supposed to be. It builds on five of the standards, and I'm not going to recite all the names, but they build on every single part of the standards, as well as part six of the Act. And this principle brings in the access to records component into the standards for the first time, and is very much canvassing the fact that we have records, we need to make them accessible within the appropriate frameworks, so making them accessible within our organisations but also outside of our organisations. There is also one new requirement here, and it's about ensuring that records and information are kept for as long as they're needed for business, legal and accountability requirements. For all of us, it sort of pretty much begs the question, this is really a statement about disposal and making sure that we keep things for as long as we need to keep things, but it's really good to have it in there for the first time. In other words, there's a reason why we retain things and we don't just go and do disposal without the consideration of all the things that we need to bear in mind when we do an authorised disposal process. Okay. Now, that's the standard in a nutshell. It is quite small. It's only, I think, 10 or 11 pages. And what we've actually done for you, and I'd now like to look at this in a bit of detail, is we've built you an implementation guide. Has everyone seen that? Downloaded it? It's massive. It's colourful. Yep. Okay, great. Okay, the implementation guide is about providing you with detailed information on the requirements of the standard. It provides an explanation about the new standard to assist you in meeting your obligations under the Act. Now, one of the things that we were really conscious was that with our superseded standards, we had linked them very much to individual obligations within the Act. So you had a standard on full and accurate records, which was designed to assist you with the making and keeping of full and accurate records of the activities of the public office. We had a standard on records management programs because there was an obligation about records management programs. So one of the things we were really conscious was we've collapsed that into just one standard. How are people going to see this matches this particular obligation under the Act? So what we've done is a mapping that you see on page 20 and 22, and I'll show you part of that in a minute, which shows you how the obligations under the Act are mapped to requirements in the standard. So if anyone has any concerns about, well, how do I show that I've got full and accurate records, we can show you a mapping. So if you meet those requirements, you've met that requirement under the Act. And very importantly, the implementation guide is all about how to transition from five standards to the new standard, and I'm going to talk through some scenarios with you shortly. Okay. This is the first part of the implementation guide, and this is the part one is the section where you're going to find a detailed explanation for each minimum compliance requirement and key guidance for implementing requirements. So we've done it by colour, so you can sort of find your place easily. So the red colouring is for principle one. So the minimum compliance requirement is in that first column on the left. The explanation of this minimum compliance is in the centre column, and so we've really canvassed what does this mean? What would somebody be looking for in terms of familiarity to understand what this requirement is about? So that's where the explanation comes into play. And in the far column, we've got the key guidance for you in implementing the requirements. So if you want to go and look at other sources of information, how to do this, what kinds of checklists might be out there, what kind of training might be available to you, that's all included in that far right column for you. So the far right column includes things on the information management framework portal. It also has international standards included, links to our online training modules, the records management assessment tool. It also includes links to documents, guidance on our website as well. So there's a whole lot of information for you to actually click on and move on to find out more information about a particular requirement. It also flags for you that there's things coming soon or later this year, because obviously there's some ongoing development work happening in our end. The records management training, online training, is in the process of being revised and will be available on the website soon. We've updated all our training courses to reflect the new standard, but there's obviously some ongoing work, and there's also some new products we want to be working on over the second half of this year. Now, this is part two of the implementation guide, and this is where I was mentioning before, if you have an interest in what are the obligations under the Act, how do I know that I'm actually acquitting myself, our organisation, appropriately in relation to that obligation, there is a mapping through this part of the implementation guide which takes you to the appropriate requirements. So the first obligation that's listed there is the obligation to protect records, and the requirements in the standard are 2.5, 2.6, 3.3 and 3.4. So if you're managing those requirements appropriately, you feel that you're compliant with those requirements, then you're discharging your obligation under the State Records Act to protect records. So there's that kind of connection there for you. So, implementing the standard and transitioning. I will reiterate again that this standard is based on the previous standard, so it draws on those requirements. And I think part of the key to transitioning is where were you at the beginning of the year in relation to your conformity with those earlier standards. And that's really going to be the key to how you transition. There are three possible scenarios that I've worked through. The first scenario is you've been doing regular monitoring. You know the state of compliance across your organisation, and you know that your organisation meets most of the requirements in the superseded standards. Big tick from Catherine. In this scenario, your organisation most likely will also be meeting most of the requirements in the new standard, because if that's where you're at, this is where you are in relation to the new standard. So what this means is I think you basically are going to be focusing in on the new requirements, those six new requirements, and looking at those. You possibly also want to just scan across the rest of the standard for assurance that yes, we're okay, but your primary focus is going to be on those six new requirements and implementing those into your organisation. I've added onto this bulletproof list, check your existing documentation. This is really important because you need to make sure that your existing documentation adequately meets the new minimum compliance requirements. It might just be a minor tweaking, it might be a bit more of a revision. But it's about checking your policy, your procedures, your business rules, making sure that they all fit the requirements of the new standard. And part of the reason is, even though we've picked up requirements from the old standards and brought them across to the new standard, we have redefined them in some ways. We've revisited some of the language. We've given them a bit of a digital feel. So we feel your documentation also needs to be looked at to make sure that it actually is keeping pace with the requirements. Now, the second scenario is you've been doing some monitoring. You know the state of compliance across the organisation, and you know that your organisation doesn't meet all the requirements of the superseded standards. In this scenario, I would suggest that because you know what you don't meet currently, but you also do know what you do meet, you're going to need to do some further assessment against the new standard. So pull out the new standard and look at whether or not your organisation can meet those requirements. And obviously, yes, you're going to be looking at implementing the six new requirements, but you'll also need to go back and actually revisit the requirements in the rest of the standard. In part three of the implementation guide, there is a mapping of the old standards to the new standard. I think if you know which bits of the old standards you actually were conforming to, you can go through that mapping and go, okay, that matches up with that particular requirement. Okay, we're probably in a good place with that new requirement. If you know which bits of the old standard you don't conform to, same kind of principle. You can map from the old standards across to the new standard as part of that transition process. So what this means is you need to know where you are at the beginning of the year and use that information as your way of your pathway across to the new standard. So use those mappings in part three. We've mapped the old standards to the new standard, and then we've done the reverse, new standard to old standard. So whichever works best for you, there is those pathways there. And once again, with scenario two, also remember to check the existing documentation to make sure that it meets the requirements. Okay, and this is scenario three. And in this scenario, you haven't done much monitoring. You don't know about the state of compliance across your organisation. So therefore, you really don't know what requirements you're meeting at this point in time. So in this scenario, I would suggest don't bother looking at the old standards. Just move straight into the new standard. Do an assessment against the new standard to see what you meet. And hopefully there's a few things in there that you can say, yes, we can tick off these things straight away. You'll need to develop a strategy on how you're going to address the requirements of the standard, because obviously you're in a slightly different position than scenario one and two. And you'll also need to be thinking about the new requirements, but I would be saying to you, please start getting across the other 15 odd requirements first, because that's really your focus. But don't bother looking at the old standards, just go straight into the new standard and look at those requirements now. Because that's really where the game is for you if you're in scenario three. Now, as promised, Catherine's top tips. These are the things that I would suggest to you as things to do with implementing this new standard. Please use the mappings from the superseded standards to the new standard if you're in scenarios one or two. If you need to refer to older standards, these are all now available on OpenGov for you. So if you don't have a copy of the older standard, you can go to that. But please bear in mind, they have been revoked. They're no longer a standard under the framework. Please use the examples that are actually in the standard. In the standard format, we have a two-column format for the first time, and we have the examples of how a public office can demonstrate compliance with the requirement. We put those in to give you some suggestions, so please use those as suggestions for how you might implement the requirement. I would also add the caveat, don't treat it as a checklist and just go through and tick off all of those, because there may be other things that you might need to do, but they are there as suggestions for you in terms of how you can meet the requirements, or to start some thinking about, or start that thinking process of how you might implement a particular requirement. So make use of those in the standard itself. Use the resources in the implementation guide. Go out and look at the links that we've connected the guide to. Network with your peers in other public offices. So I'm sure the councils are likely to have some chats about this, the same with the health groups, the different clusters I'm sure will also be talking about it. But network with your peers, share information and collaborate, because obviously there's an awful lot of you that are now in this situation of transitioning from five to one standard. And always, you can contact us at Government Record Keeping and ask questions, and we will do our best to assist you. Thank you.